Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
We're going to go to 1 John chapter 1, and then I would ask you to also hold your finger in Acts chapter 2 while you're in your Bibles. Let me also mention, I believe this is also a time we give higher attention to God. And the next 40 minutes or so, there's been a lot of, in recent Sundays, a lot of activity in and out of the auditorium. And I believe in the next 40 minutes, we can all sit and we can all pay attention. And we can all give our time because this is God time. And you don't want to be a distraction. I don't want to be a distraction. And so let's focus our attention on the Word of God and give our attention to Him. And if you need to use the restroom, I believe 40 minutes is sufficient enough for you to hold and wait, unless you have a medical emergency, obviously. But nevertheless, let's give God our time, our attention, and just listen clearly and focus our attention on Him. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to use this and then go back to Acts chapter 2. But in 1 John chapter 1, follow please as I read. Verse 1, 1 John 1. That was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested that we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for every time we have to assemble together to look into your word, to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, to fellowship one with another. And Lord, I pray even right now that you would, in the stillness of these moments, in the quietness around this auditorium, arrest our attention, fix our minds on you. Help us, Lord, to concentrate on thus saith the Lord. Help us to have teachable hearts, receptive minds, listening ears, and Lord, a will to do so that we would be glorifying you further, more fully, and that we would spread the gospel because we know that you're with us all the way to the end of the age, world without end. And we know, Lord, that this important topic of fellowship, we need this, and I pray that we'd implement and practice it. And so, Lord, I pray also if any are sitting here today, maybe listening through the live stream, who have yet to come to know Christ, would you please, even right now, just cause their hearts to be opened, receptive, convicted, so that they can enjoy a full biblical conversion, being transformed from hell-bound sinners to heaven-bound saints, to know the truth of being born again, being saved and having sins forgiven, forever having a relationship with you, so that they can enjoy fellowship in the fullness. Thank you, Lord, that we can do this all in the freedom of this country. God, I pray that you would preserve these freedoms. And yea, Lord, it's so important that our leaders would govern biblically. So root out all corruption. Let all the truth prevail. Let all the lies fail. I pray this for all leaders all around the country, and watch over Israel too during this time. I know they're in the crosshairs when it comes to invasions and incursions and being overtaken. So watch over them, we pray. And may the word of God have free course in all these countries. Lost souls being saved. Thank you for what we heard taking place, even from the report this morning. Souls being saved. Oh, Lord, bless. So we commit this to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as a church body, and yea, even as a church family, it is imperative that we assemble together and that we do so to exhort one another in so much the more. That was from last Sunday. And to do so on purpose. That's been our theme throughout these last couple of weeks. Doing what we do on purpose. Knowing why we do what we do. Taking that a step further, because God has created us all in His image as social beings. He created us in such a way that we want to have interaction. We want to have connection. We want to enjoy company with other people. And on top of that, because we're saved, those of us sitting here this morning, are you listening? Those who have been saved, those who are redeemed, those who are born again, we're capable of this thing called fellowship. Well, so what exactly is this? What exactly is fellowship, and how do I do it on purpose? Standing joke is that every time the Baptists have a fellowship, they always have to have bowls of potato salad and food. Well, food is not the same as fellowship, although I enjoy good fellowship with food. When the early church began, one of the distinguishing features was the believers experiencing this close-knit unity in one another's company. And even more, it was what they called fellowship, which we're going to be looking at. You have your finger in 1 John chapter 1. Turn back now to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to camp out here for the first point and look at exactly what took place in this early church. Shortly, I mean days, a month if you will, a month and a half or so after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God comes, indwells the believers, and births the church into its visible, physical, earthly existence. Well, look at Acts chapter 2, what takes place. Verse 42. And they, that is the 120 now, plus the 3,000 that got saved, baptized, and joined unto them. So these 3,120 people in this church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That was the teaching, clear instruction from the word of God. The apostles were instructing, teaching, and declaring the truths. And fellowship. I mean, that's the next characteristic that defines this group of people. So we need to learn this biblical meaning of fellowship if we're going to live out the ministry of it. So number one, in the word itself, in the definition of it, we're going to define it, the meaning of it. Believers share the same salvation in Jesus Christ. That is what is the basis of, and that's what the foundation of fellowship is. To give you a little bit more of a definition, fellowship, it means an association of close mutual relationship and involvement with one another. This is a little technical, but follow it. It is an alliance with another person or group, formal or informal. There's an implication of intimacy, not sensual intimacy, but a spiritual intimacy. A singleness of purpose, meaning we have the same goals and we have the same mindset. We have a trust one of another. It's not suspicion. We share a material goods at times. We're participating together in a harmony rather than a hostility. And you can add on top of that one common denominator, and that is Jesus Christ. This is something, this fellowship idea is also translated in other passages of Scripture in a different way. In one passage of Scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians, you find it's translated as communion. Communion, yeah. When you look at it, 1 Corinthians 10, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the Lord? Going back. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Oh, by the way, tonight we have the Lord's Supper. We call it, what else do we call it? Communion.
And that is the opportunity where we join together as believers and we share the same common purpose, and that is to appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for us. We don't assemble with any suspicions. No, we gather together as a group who is sharing the same salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do so in obedience to Him to appreciate what He has done for us, to give us a relationship with Him that lasts forever. The same thing is said in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Oh, wait a minute. So this fellowship thing has some parameters. There's some guidelines. Because he has these five comparisons in verses 14 and 15, which shows the incompatibility between those who have Christ and those who don't have Christ. And it's not because these people are better, and it's not because these people are looked down upon in a prejudicial, judgmental way. No, it's just you don't have the same thing. You're different. There's a big difference. Then here's the word. What communion, what fellowship is light and darkness? In 2 Corinthians 9, the word distribution. The idea of sharing what you have with those who have a need. We're doing that with the situation over in Ukraine. There are believers over there. So we're going to share with them what we have because they're in Christ. We're in Christ. They're in need. We have wherewithal to meet the need. We're going to help them. So the word distribution. It's also translated communication. Not this verbal expression, but the idea of being able to give. That's the idea. Same thing in Hebrews chapter 13. Well, because then fellowship is conditioned upon knowing Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God indwelling each one, it ties us together spiritually. What we have in common is Jesus Christ. Oh, that is such a joy. And as you look there in that 2 Corinthians 6 passage, since fellowship, listen, catch this. Since fellowship by nature and definition is truly a Christian concept, a common spiritual bond cannot be shared with or enjoyed with unbelievers. That's why the passage in the next slide showed you, which is what communion is light with darkness. There's an incompatibility. So that means if I am a born-again believer, which I am, I will find my closest camaraderie, my closest association, my closest connection, my closest familiarity with those who are saved. Because I have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and you have the Holy Spirit of God in you by the new birth. Therefore, that is what the tie that binds us together. Now, if I'm finding that I am having more affinity with and a closer connection to and a greater desire to associate with the unbeliever, I better check whether I truly am of the faith. Because the Bible is saying it's an impossibility for you to have fellowship by nature of the definition. You say, well, then how do we have involvement with the unbelievers? You know what? I can have interaction with someone who is not saved. I do it all the time. But there's no fellowship. I can have contact and conversation with individuals, but when it comes to the spiritual level, it is evangelistic and it is the idea of bringing that person to Christ. I can't go to the depths of let's pray together. Let's talk about what we read this morning in the days of praise. We'll not see death and all that goes in that. I can't have that with them. And it's not because I'm better. Now, because they're not worse, it's I'm different. And being different, I'm in the will of God. I'm a peculiar person. Hold your tongue, hold on. But that's the idea from 1 Peter. And as fellowship brings believers into that spiritual brotherhood, you know what happens? This new life and this fellowship supersedes personality differences. Difference of looks. Difference of backgrounds and occupations. Look around this auditorium for a moment. We're not all cookie cutter people, are we? I mean, there are some who are younger, some who are older, right? Nash, how old are you? 9? Okay. Now, I won't go on the other spectrum, but just trust me, there's some others who are older. Okay. There are ladies, there are men. There are those who have different occupations. Some have white-collar occupations. Some have blue-collar occupations. Some come from a background where they have great dynamics with their biological family. Others don't. But you know what? Listen, you got to get this. When we get together as believers in Christ, and we're assembling ourselves together, as the passage last week says, and we're encouraging one another, Christ in us overrides any personality differences. Jesus Christ, our Savior, supersedes any differences in occupation, levels of theological expertise. Oh, I could talk to somebody. We were at a pastor's breakfast, and maybe I could talk to somebody about ministerial experience and perhaps a Hebrew word or what the Greek noun here is and all these things. And then I can get together with somebody else like Leanna, and I can say, Leanna, do you understand this? The past participial use of this particular Greek word in this language? And she looks at this pastor, I have no idea what you're saying. But you know, but because we're in Christ, that doesn't, I wouldn't do that anyway, I better not. But there's a commonality in Jesus. Do you get that? You understand that? There's a commonality we have with Christ. Actually, that's what Jude says. By the way, too, in this idea of fellowship, look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. The command, this is a command, by the way. This is not an option. This is not just a suggestion. This is thus saith the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You have no compatibility. Interesting what he says here. Fellowship. There's no camaraderie. There's no connection. And then he says unfruitful. That's like valueless. That's worthless. Works. Works is the idea that Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh are these. Darkness. That's the kingdom of Satan. That's the domain of the devil. There's no light in darkness. He says, don't you do this. Now, why would he have to say that? Because the temptation is for us to have fellowship and try to have camaraderie with the unsaved world. Young people, look up here for a moment, because if you're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, any of those other things, there's going to be a temptation to gravitate towards worldly philosophies and ungodly language and sensual imagery and just worldly type of things, whether it's evolutionary or whether it's in the sense of sexuality. You know what he says? Have no fellowship with it. Turn it off. You might be gravitating towards certain movies or certain entertainment or certain sports stars and certain this and that. You know what? I can watch, but I better be discerning, because the moment something gets to the unfruitful works of darkness, I'm done. I sent you all the YouTube portion of the song that we're singing to give you a little bit of an advance notice, but there's ads before that. Do you ever do that? You're wanting to watch something, be educated, and you got to go through the ads. Boy, my cursor is right there on skip, so as soon as it goes 5, 4, 3, 1, boom, I'm out of here. And in the meantime, Jesus loves me. I gotta do that. You know why? Because I'm tempted to participate. And that's what the idea of fellowship is, to participate together. Well, Jude writes that we have this common salvation. In Jude 1, verse 3, it's only a one chapter little book, but in verse number 3, he says this. And as the next slide will show you what's happening here. We, beloved, when I have gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. Look at the upper right-hand corner. This was in last week's slide. That upper right-hand corner. That's the Ukrainian believers huddling together in their church. You know what they're doing? They're praying. And one of the best ways to have fellowship, you know what, is praying together. I feel for them. I'm going to forward you Bruce's last a note along with some audio and then a letter from his translator, Katya. If you haven't been moved to tears yet, it will. And it adds one dimension to, if one member of the body suffers, we all suffer together. And we earnestly pray for them, because some of them don't know if they're going to live through this. Fellowship. We have it in common. Number two, notice something else here. Well, believers enjoy a common communion with Christ. Oh, it gets even better. Look at now, we go back to 1 John chapter 1. And look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to focus on this. As you're turning your Bible there, all of us being made alive in Christ, we were once spiritually dead. We all have a new focus, and so well should we. We have new direction, we have new appetites, we have a new intention, we have a new worldview. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. And that's what the believers in Jerusalem held just a month or so after the resurrection of Christ, in the absence, physical absence of Christ. They enjoyed this common salvation together. Verse 3, 1 John 1. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. I love that. That you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So by the way, we don't only have fellowship on this level here horizontally, we have fellowship here vertically. What a joy that is. The word fellowship again involves the element of being together in God's spiritual family. And fellowship means that the commonality of Christ is our focus. It's our conversation. It's our ambition. Look what he says here. We have, present tense verb here, carries with it the idea of possessing as an abiding hold, to grasp hold of. Right, Leanna? That's what it means? Amen. It means to hold on to. He says, we're clutching on to this. We have it as a personal possession that we aren't going to let go. And what is it that we're not going to let go? This fellowship together, and this fellowship in Christ, and fellowship with the Father. You see, being fully satisfied and persuaded, firmly persuaded of the truth of this testimony, which he says, we declare unto you, believers may partake together the benefits and privileges that are already being enjoyed. Isn't that great? You see, because believers have the same Savior, we spend time together. It's very meaningful. It's not just on the surface. It better not be. It is something that is deeper than that. For instance, I could use an illustration. My wife and I are married. We have a relationship that we don't have with you. Well, we do have a certain relationship, but between her and me, it goes further. And the conversation, and the camaraderie, and the intimacy, and the enjoyment. It is a greater, greater, wonderful dynamic than what I would have, say, with Ray, or what I would have with Heather, or what Jim, or all around the auditorium here. Why? Because there is something that connects us together in this marriage relationship, and it gets even better. Because we're both saved, that fellowship, that camaraderie, ratchets up just that much more. And what he is saying here is the fact that we enjoy that on a level here in this era and in this time, because in the first century when it's being written, this is written about 90 AD, persecution, opposition, heresies. He says, we share together. In the midst of all the bombarding that is trying to tear us apart, that is trying to manipulate us against each other, or to manipulate our minds so that we believe lies. Well, not only could every believer fully enjoy sweet communion with each other, but also with the Lord God Almighty and Jesus Himself. That's what He says in the second part. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, having spiritual life, we enjoy a vibrant relationship with God. Now, let me pause and say this. If you're sitting here today and you're saying, well, I don't know if I have fellowship with Jesus. Fellowship with Jesus will start with a relationship with God. Just like my fellowship with Dawn starts with a relationship through marriage. Okay? If you want to have fellowship with God, you have to come to know God personally through Jesus Christ. And that becomes known as being born again or being saved. So if you're watching with us through live stream, or you're here today, and you're not certain about this, you're not confident in that, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Did you know while you're sitting here, you can know for sure that you're saved? You can know for sure you're going to heaven? You can know for sure that your sins are forever forgiven, and that you have a relationship with God that will never end? You say, how does that happen? Through Jesus. In a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating, recognizing, commemorating Good Friday. We have a service at 7 o'clock. And then we have an Easter Sunday service we recognize. I've even talked to the deacons about doing a sunrise service. Sunrise is at 6:18 that morning. Nobody's okay. But it's like we're commemorating what Jesus did for us. And what did he do? When he went to the cross of Calvary, he wasn't just executed. He willingly went to the cross as your substitute, as the Passover lamb. And as he shed his own blood through the crucifixion account, that blood was shed as a remission of sin. The only thing that can cover your sin, the only thing that can forgive your sin, the only thing that can remove your sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. You see, baptism in waters cannot wash away your sin. There's no place in the Bible where it says it can. Good works can never cover over your sin, outweigh your sin. There's no place in the Bible. Actually, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Even going to a church service, giving money, humanitarian effort, none of that is going to be sufficient enough. Why? Because it's not finished. When Jesus died on the cross, it is finished. Everything that was necessary for you to have a relationship with God, a home in heaven, sins forgiven, and fellowship with him was fully completed by Jesus Christ on the cross. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you can even right here, if you have never done that, you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, you've never had your sins forgiven, you've never been born again, you can say, Lord Jesus, God Almighty, I know I'm a sinner, that's obvious, and I realize Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He took my place because I should have bore the penalty and pay the price for my own sin, but he loved me so much. I would ask Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior. I trust you. Forgive my sin and give me everlasting life. The moment you do that in faith and a full understanding from your heart, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not hope so, not think so, shall be saved. What a glorious thought. And then welcome into the family of God. And now there's fellowship you can have with him and one another because you share the common salvation. Well, being spiritually united, believers also assemble in joyous worship of God. Philippians chapter 2. If there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's why when we get together, we're able to fellowship with one another, but because, listen, catch this, there's a dual thing going on here. We're fellowshipping one with another, but at the same time, we are fellowshipping with God. We are, quote unquote, connecting, communing. As you're listening to me preach and you're assimilating the Word of God in your heart, you're doing it with God's help. You're doing it with the Holy Spirit of God's working. You're doing it through the Lord Jesus Christ working in your heart. And when we get back together tonight, we're having a really special time of fellowship, one with another, and fellowship with God. And ladies, tomorrow night, the opportunity for the ladies to get together for moms and mentors. The opportunity to share together in these things. And then on Friday night, here's where the food comes in. So on Friday night, men's pizza. What do? We get together. We talk. And you know what else happens? Oh, I try with all my heart. I mean, we can talk the weather. We can talk politics. We can talk what's going on here and there. Inevitably, let's steer it towards the God of the Bible and the Bible itself. You say, Pastor, you're manipulating. I guess maybe I am. But we want to talk God things because we need that. You see, serving the same master with other believers eliminates competition. Adds that team concept. We're in this together. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're all together as one body. Eyes and ears and nose, and we're all connected. We're all jointly connected together. But in the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, we're all connected together through him. So those two thoughts should really resonate. The definition, believers share the same salvation in Christ, and believers enjoy a common communion with Christ. So is this community of believers a source of joy to your hearts? Are you sharing this joy of salvation one with another? I pray and trust that definition will resonate. Now let's flesh it out. You flip your page over, you can see number two. Not only do we learn the biblical meaning, the Bible meaning of fellowship, but now we live the ministry. Live the ministry of it. Here's where it gets very practical. You're still in 1 John. Look at verse number 7. You see, believers can provide and should provide and must provide a mutual edification. What does the word edification mean? To build up, to strengthen, to encourage, to exhort. You see, this fellowship, catch this for a moment. This fellowship that we have doesn't tear down. This fellowship does not become so judgmentally oppressive. This fellowship that we have is not a competition. This fellowship, now catch this for a moment. Difference between last week's encouragement and this week's fellowship? You can encourage yourself. David did that. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Fellowship happens with others. Fellowship is one of those actions that involves other people. Fellowship is one of those actions that it is a two-way street. I can't fellowship with myself. I try. I have conversation with myself all the time, but that's not the same thing. But God designed us to have fellowship with each other, with Him. Now, I can have fellowship with God. I do. This morning, I'm into my Bible. Fellowship with God. I'm in prayer. I'm in fellowship with God. I'm just meditating on Him and looking into the heavens and considering how great a God He is. I'm singing these songs. I'm fellowshipping with Him. It's all God. But here He says, if we walk in the light, He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. You see some of the conditioning here? That little particle, if, it's introducing a condition that has to be met for the results to be realized. Hypothetical, if you will. It's the if-then situation. If you are walking in the light. If you're walking in the light. And if you're listening up here, right? Yep. So if you're walking in the light, what does it mean to walk in the light? The word light or the word walk carries with it the idea of to conduct your lifestyle. And that means if my lifestyle is in the light. So what's the light? Well, we just saw the contrast between Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom. God's word is light. Jesus Christ is light. The truth is light. So I want to, listen. If I want to truly fellowship with my fellow believers, if I really want to be a good fellowshipper, and if I want to be fellowshipable, then I've got to walk in the light. That means my lifestyle needs to coordinate and be so focused upon and so attached to and so committed to the light. Because the light, that's the entire realm of God's heavenly righteousness. All that is true, because God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Now you notice something else. This condition means you initiate the action. If you walk in the light, you're going to have options to walk in the darkness. You're going to have temptations to gravitate towards the darkness. But God says, listen, you got to get this. The benefit of your fellowship, not only to you, but to others, is conditioned by, predicated upon, determined by your walking in the light. You're fleshing out the Word of God on a regular basis. Your time with God, your confession of sin, your love for the truth. Because if that's not there, you will hamper fellowship. You will hinder fellowship. It's what it says in, we just mentioned 1 John. But he says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Oh, there's the example. You know, I can't emphasize enough the necessity for us to be fellowshipping with God, because the better we know God, the more we know God, the more intimate we are with God, the better your fellowship will be with one another. That means this, the deeper my relationship is with God, the better my fellowship will be with Dawn, with my kids, with you. And the deeper your relationship and the more you walk with God and the closer you are to Him and the more focused you are to Him, you become more fellowshipable. And your involvement is that much more intimate, if you will, not centrally. But he says here, again, we have fellowship one with another, and the have, we possess that. Fellowship is active, positive, meaningful, beneficial, while showing no preferences, nor playing any favorites. Selfless service, Christ-centered, others-oriented. That's what this idea of fellowship is. And we have fellowship what? One with another. It's interesting, the one another passage. You want to do a great study? The one another passages are a great study. Okay, so how is this going to happen? There's four things I want to really hit on now as we finish up the message. Number one, fellowship includes talking, communication. So train yourself to speak that which is wholesome, Christ-honoring, spiritually helpful. What we need to do is help each other in this way. That means we use scripture passages, testimonials, memory verses, prayer requests, phone calls. Because if we're going to make this reality here, and that's why we have church services. I mean, after the services are done, you fellowship one with another. And we can talk the weather, yep. And we can talk business, and we can talk sports, and we can talk all those things. But let's talk Christ, amen. Because we're around people that may be hurting. They may have need. And so really, fellowship, and I had these slides out of order, Jim, so I'll go ahead. Fellowship includes talking. So when you talk, let's have scripture ready. Now, we're not forcing it. Okay, pastor says, all right, now listen. I think the Bible's, okay, the pastor's listening? Great, let's talk Bible. Oh, he's gone. Hey, did you see last night's game? No. We're not forcing it. We're not manipulating it. But really, listen. If we have Christ in common, and sometimes this will be the only time we sometimes get to see each other. And so we want to help each other, build each other up. There's some who need to be baptized. Encourage them that way. There's some who need to join the church. Encourage them that way. There are some when it comes to other matters, which leads me to number two. Fellowship reveals needs. Problems. So we have to be ready and prepared to provide counsel, proper guidance, pay close attention to someone who's hurting or discouraged. And that may include just, hey, let's pray about this. Let's pray right now. Because you come across individuals, and as you're fellowshipping on this level and you're talking to each other at a church service or afterwards or on the phone or wherever you are, because fellowship is not isolated to the church services, in the church building. Fellowship can uncover problems. And God, listen. God may put you at that place and that person's circumstance and that person's life at that time for such a place where you can fellowship and courage together, and you could be an uplifter and you could be a great encourager. I look around the auditorium and I see some of you, you have some certain days that are coming up where it's going to be hurtful because you've lost relatives or maybe situations have happened through COVID. They may need some encouragement. They may need some good fellowship. Be there for them. Also, we move on. Fellowship as well, third of all. Fellowship reveals needs. So be prepared to help where and when needed. Acts chapter 2, part of their fellowship meant that they helped reach out and they were able to help other believers who, much like in Ukraine, were displaced. They had to be, because they became Christians, they lost their livelihood. Some of them got kicked out of their families. As you fellowship and you come alongside them and encourage them, guess what's going to happen? It may reveal there's some needs. You might need to take a meal. By the way, thank you all for helping to provide meals for the Gilmores. I'm sure they appreciate that. Thank you for the meals that were provided earlier for that, for Juliana, Pastor Matthew. Thank you for giving rides. Thank you for being there. And you know what? When you see a need, fellowship can reveal need. Some say, well, I don't want to work with that, so I guess I won't fellowship. No. God may put you into a person's place and time just for you to help meet that need. Do you see that verse, John, chapter 3, verse 17? If you see your brother have need, and you have this world's goods to help meet that need, and you shut up the bowels of compassion, how dwells the love of God in you? So God may bring people into your path in the midst of your fellowship so that you could be a minister. Number four. Fellowship exposes sin. You're talking and you're fellowshipping, and you're talking, all of a sudden, this person that you're fellowshipping with is unloading a burden because they're having a real trouble with their tongue, they're gossiping. Or maybe they're having an issue with the pornography. Or maybe they're lying. Or maybe they're cheating. Or maybe they're lusting. Or maybe children are rebelling against their parents. What do you do in those cases? You come alongside, and fellowship is going to try to help them. That means we got to be ready and prepared. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 6, when you see your brother overtaken of fault, you who are spiritual, seek to restore such an one in the spirit of meekness and fear. Turn with me to Matthew 18, because here's a passage of Scripture not often addressed in churches anymore, but it's called church discipline. Matthew chapter 18, because honestly, fellowship may reveal sin that has to be addressed. There are always consequences that there's unrepentance. If there's a lack of involvement getting back to rightness with God. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, I mean, there's a clear violation of the word of God, go and tell him his fault between you and him. And if he shall hear you, the idea not only just listening with the ear, but the idea is there's a correction. There's a restoration. You've gained your brother. But if he's not going to hear you, take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So you have a witness to help you. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Expose them publicly. That's what it says. Tell it to the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen and a publican. What that means is this. And I've used the word, and I think I invented it, fellowshipable. I need to be living in such a way that when somebody is in my orb or my sphere, I am walking in the light to the extent that I can be an encouragement, I can build up, I can strengthen. Because the Bible does say in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, look at it with me. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, with the covetous or extortioners or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, or extortioner, not so much as one to eat. The word company carries with the fellowship. I can be unfellowshipable. If I'm living in a state of unrepentant sin, I stink. Pastor, I can't fellowship with you. You stink. That's my sin stinks. My unrepentant sin. I violated the passage of Scripture where it says you cannot be, and light and darkness aren't compatible. So, Pastor, you need to get a bath. You need to have the Lord God Almighty forgive your sin and you get right and start walking in the light that we can be fellowshipping together. Because until then, I don't have the commonality. Oh, yeah, we're saved. But your sin is keeping us separated. I've had to do this. One thing I don't want to do is in this church ministry, be living in such a way that I become unfellowshipable. Neither should you. So let me ask you this question. Are you walking in the light? Are you living in such a way that others can come alongside of you and encourage you, and you can be an encourager, and you can fellowship with them, and you have a commonality because there's nothing hidden, nothing concealed, no hypocrisies. You're clean before the Lord. You say, well, listen, personality, remember? He's talking clear-cut violation of the Word of God. I'm going to stop there. No, I'm not. I'm going to just one thought. Number two, we are partakers. Here's the last point. Partakers in the sufferings of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. And this is a one-sentence conclusion. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers. That's the word fellowship. Partakers of Christ's sufferings. partakers of his sufferings. And we're supposed to rejoice in that? That's what the Bible says. You know why? The word rejoice, to delight in God's grace, clearly recognizing his divine favor and help in your life. He is sovereignly in control and powerfully at work. It's a command to obey. I can't help but to think my brethren over in Ukraine. They're suffering. And some of them are suffering because they're believers. Targeting churches or whatever. If you go on that BIM website, you will notice there's a clip of a group of believers up near Kyiv. And after they were bombed and after things happened and they didn't hear any sirens or raids, they came out and they sang to the glory of God. Wow. It was Peter and John who said they counted it a joy to suffer for the cause of Christ. It was the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. That I may know him. And he says that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Wow. Peter may have heard this as he wrote it. Because in Luke chapter 9 verse 23, there was a cost for discipleship. When you think of what is happening, the sufferings, physical, emotional, social, spiritual pain encountered, endured, from persecution and opposition for being totally sold out and wholly committed to God. Could I pray that? Lord, that I may know the partaking of your sufferings. May I personally, in the word know there, has the idea of what? Not just know factually, but to know experientially. I don't like suffering. I'm a wimp in that area. But when it comes to Christ, Lord, may I be willing in my commitment to you to stand out and stand up and stand strong in the midst of opposition, persecution, trial and trouble, so that I could deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you. Philippians 3:10. There it is. The next slide shows that's what Paul wrote. And in conclusion, Paul says in Romans 8:18, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do you realize that even full devotion to Christ will in times invite and bring the privilege of suffering with him? Are we that committed? No, we don't want to invite it, but it'll happen. You stand up, stand out, and stand for Christ. It's inevitable. One day, someday, sooner or later, some shape or form. Because the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then we ask James and John, Lord, we count it a privilege, we count it a joy and a blessing to have suffered for you. So this fellowship, we learn the biblical meaning of it. We share the same salvation in Christ. We have a common communion with Christ. We live the biblical ministry. We provide a mutual edification and we become partakers in like sufferings of Christ for his glory on purpose. Let's pray. Father, how I would ask and pray as we finish, as we conclude, as we leave from this time, I pray that you'd help us to renew our purpose in fellowship. Let us both be contributing to holy, godly fellowship one with another. And let us also, Lord, be contributing to being fellowshipable as we walk in the light. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as you're sitting here and you mull over the message and think about it. How's your fellowship? How's your fellowship with God? Are you enjoying or are you enduring fellowship with others? Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, can you pray for me? because I need to put this message into practice. I need to more fully understand and grip this reality of the definition of it and to live it. Live it in my family. Live it in my marriage. Live it in my church. Live it consistently. Lord has spoken to my heart. Need to make some changes. That's me, Pastor. Would you pray with me? Just lift your hand, put it right back down, put it up. Pastor, that's me. Yes, 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 yes. If you're here today and you've not yet been saved, I'd like to talk to you later. Or you can talk to me and say, I did get saved. I prayed and asked the Lord to be my Savior. I meant it, all my faith and all my trust. If you'd like me to talk to you further about this salvation, would you lift your hand? Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. I need to know more about this salvation. I need to know more about being born again. Here's my hand. Father, we commit this to you. We pray this so that each one of us would be yielding ourselves wholly and totally to you. For these lifting their hands, Lord, may you indeed remind, refresh, rehearse the message they've heard, the passages read, the illustrations and applications, so they would be fellowshipping in a holy, godly manner and fellowshipable with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.